With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, they might be close, but I don't think they believe they're as close as the point said they are. They know Jets been making mistakes, and when he doesn't make mistakes, it's going to be hard to beat him. So the other option, roll, then try to do it. Try to blitz it. Jump into it. I do also feel like Ken Roczen, like he's starting to believe that he's really the only dude that's actually running with Jet and actually making Jet have to step its game up to a point, which is awesome. The German chocolate is really that good. And that's why I feel like when you listen to him at the podium, each podium interview, the first one, like, yeah, I'm happy. The second one, like, yeah, I'm happy. The third one, like, he was like, I almost felt like I saw more. Like, he was like, I want more. What's up, guys? You know who it is, your boy JS7. And you know where we at. We at the Rewind Show, baby, from round 11 from Indianapolis. No, we ain't watching the Colts. We watching these Supercross guys back in the fold. And it's the Triple Crown. 62,000 people showed up to watch these guys. And boy, were they into a treat. We saw last couple weekends, Jet Lawrence been dominant in Tomac's house, in pretty much everybody's house, slapping grandma, doing everything. And
do you see me fucking laughing, my?
And then you had Tom Vial, the French Connection, going out and trying to solidify that championship. But would Hayden Deegan bounce back? Would Cameron McAdoo let it hang out again? Or will Chase Sexton and Ken, the German chocolate, step up? Well, all these guys were in full effect. So you know what we got to do. Let's check it out. So this weekend, being that it's a Triple Crown, we know how important the starts are. Looking at that track map and knowing Indianapolis, how sticky that dirt is, the tracks were really important to get a good start. The guys were struggling just because it got deep. I mean, you heard those guys talking about in practice that it was getting down to the concrete, which I can believe. Seemed like those ruts were like my hair comb. It just ruts everywhere. So this weekend, it was really important for guys like Ken Roczen, Chase Sexton, even Eli Tomac, to get a good start because they had to fend off this other dude, that Jet Lawrence. It seems like right now he's just on a roll. So, yeah, I could tell by that layout that track was going to be super one-lined, and you could tell by the Triple Crown everybody feels like they can go fast, and just how technical that track was. Yeah, it was a Triple Crown, but it was a trifecta as far as how difficult it's going to be to move up in that pack. So this weekend was no different. Starts were huge importance, and pretty much that was, everybody was up front, pretty much stayed up front, and that's where your race was won. So, yeah, they got good starts, and if you didn't, you just didn't.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
So this weekend, I'm going to start with Ken Roczen, German Chocolate. After last weekend's performance, got a bad start, came up. Was riding really good on a track that was somewhat similar like this as far as with the ruts, but completely different as far as how difficult this track was, because I ain't gonna lie, I hated these tracks. I hated how these ruts, they're hard. So you almost have a mix of like a California as far as how hard the track was and how hard these ruts were, meaning they don't really give, but they were really sticky. So every time, anywhere you're going on the track, it's like the bike's trying to pull you one way or another. And so for JS and his stiff suspension, I did not like these tracks. Well, Ken Roczen, I believe this is one of his favorite places. He's won here a lot. He enjoys, you know, he's a technical rider. He enjoys just this Indianapolis feel. So you just had the feeling that Ken Roczen was going to show up here in Indianapolis after last weekend in Birmingham and ready to try to give Jet the business. And he did. Ken's really a good starter. He knows coming into this Triple Crown format, he had to get a good start to have any chance because he saw how good he rode last weekend, that he got a bad start and he had no chance. So sometimes when you show up at places, you just feel like no matter what happens, you're just going to be up front. And I believe that's what happens with Ken Roczen here in Indianapolis. So Ken got a good start every race. He was out front. He led laps. He was in front of Jet. And Ken's the one guy that every time I watch him, when he's around Jet or up front, don't you feel like he's out of everyone? He's the one guy that looks like he could beat Jet. I mean, all these guys can, you know, and then all these guys, I wouldn't even say believe they can, but, you know, these guys are so talented. I mean, Chase, Eli, when they're all firing on cylinders, they all can have a run with Duke. But when you watch Ken, and it was last year in the playoffs, and then, you know, when he came in outdoors, Ken's the one guy that looks like he has the speed, and he pulls away from him. And it's not like Jet lets him go, but in the beginning part of those laps, the races, Ken be dipping out. He's dipping out. I know Ken's really good in the opening part of the laps, and you can see Jet trying to stay in tow. He's, you know, making some mistakes, but as that happens, and I'm not going to dive too deep into Jet because I'll explain, I think he figured out how to race Ken, and he's okay with Ken getting out. But Ken's just dominant in those opening laps. And you can see him pull away. And I just feel like every time you watch him, anytime he's been up front, Supercross outdoors, like he has the speed to pull, which is different than the other guys. And it always feels like when Ken's racing Jet, it's like he almost goes back to Jet. Like he starts slowing down and or things happen and he starts moving his way back rather than like he's not fast enough. And this weekend, it was the same thing. Ken got out front and he was doing his laps and he had Jet and he was trying to catch him. Ken busted that double into the whoops. Then Jet busted the double into the whoops. And again, as I say, Ken's the one guy that has Jet kind of, you know, reacting to what he's doing is by jumping into those whoops. Because I'm not sure if Jet did it before, but he definitely had to do it because Ken was pulling away. And you could just see, like every time you're just like, dang, Ken, come on, dude, you got him. You got him. Where other guys, you're just like, all right, I'm just kind of waiting for this moment. And it was good to see. But the one thing with Ken, and it kind of goes with everybody, because I'm not going to sit here and talk about bike setup. I'm not going to talk about, you know, what his bike's not doing well here or it's doing great here. I just think with Ken and kind of the narrative for this race particular, I think those guys get that they're almost happy that they're that close. And I think that's a testament how what Jet's been doing this year and how many races he's been winning. Cause when I go back to a couple of weeks ago, when I was like, the points, yeah, they might be close, but I don't think they believe they're as close as the points said they are. They know Jet's been making mistakes, and when he doesn't make mistakes, it's going to be hard to beat him. So each one of these guys are going and growing confidence. And Ken Roczen, he's growing confidence. Like every lap that he leads, I think he gets confidence. And every time he races Jet, I think Ken is feeling like, man, I got the speed. He's just got to try to finish that off. But when you watch him, first time he was around Jet, like he was out front and he was going really fast. And this was last year. He's going really fast and Jet would close him. Now, then the next time he held on to a little bit longer. And then this time he held on a little bit longer. And it just seems like every time he's in that position, he's gaining confidence, but he's getting beat because I don't think he really believes that he can actually beat Dude. I mean, he probably shouldn't believe that because he hasn't beat Dude, but in hindsight, it's not because he's not talented enough to beat Dude. It's because, again, where he's at and coming up and almost when Ken gets podiums and he's third, Ken's like happy. Where Jet gets a podium, like he's upset. And when you watch the whole, you know, this race particular, I actually felt like Ken should at least won one of those races. Like he should have actually at least won those. But when you have guys that's, you know, racing Jet Lawrence that are in this championship, And I talked about a few weeks ago where Jet's racing each guy differently. He races each guy. He races Cooper Webb differently than he does Ken Roczen, Eli Tomac. Well, I think that goes for each and every one of those guys as well. Like, I think Ken Roczen races Jet Lawrence different than he races Chase Sexton, because Chase was coming up, and once Jet got past him, like, Ken wasn't letting Chase pass him. You know, and he was riding the same. I think Ken was in the position that he just feels like, one, he probably rides with Chase. They're a lot closer, and he feels like he can beat Chase. So his mindset is not allowing that to happen, where I almost feel like if he had that mindset against Jet, he might be in a different spot. But my point is when you're racing Jet and Ken Roczen where he's at, I don't know if Ken really feels like he wants to win the title, but is he all in for the title? And again, this ain't a negative, but it's just more of his mindset. And this will make sense, hopefully, as I keep from talking. But when you watch Ken Rod and you're kind of like listening to his podium interviews, a guy that has the mindset of winning the title, I feel like would erase Jet in the sense of, if I don't beat him tonight, this title's over. Where if a guy that's, yeah, I want to win the title, and yeah, I'm within a certain amount of points, but I don't know if I'm like that close to him. It's like you're happy, like you're almost salvaging something, like that second is okay, or that third place is okay.
I did make kind of like a late charge, you know. We're kind of like all making mistakes everywhere, you know. Gotta minimize them. But yeah, just wanted to put the pressure on it, and Chase was coming, obviously, but we got one more to go, and we're gonna give it everything we have.
And you race like that. Like, if Ken Roczen was in the position where he was like, I have to beat him tonight, I have to beat him tonight, then I think Ken would have went all in on that race. And not saying Ken didn't go all in, but I think you would have saw the difference of Ken racing him to the only objective here is to beat this guy, to let him know, I'm still in this fight. If Cooper Webb was where Ken was, I think he would have raced him different. But Ken Roczen looked like he held him off and he was doing good. And he knew, okay, second place, like, I'm happy with it. Everybody else is going to be happy with it. Because, look, nobody else has been this close. I got him on the ropes. And my mindset is, I don't know if I'm really a title threat, meaning, like, I'm racing this guy in this title fully to know if I get a second, it's going to be either my title shots or hope, like, are done, considering the way Jet would look at me, or I'm still going to be in the same position whether I win or not, because ultimately, like, I'm trying to finish as high up in this championship as I can. And when you watch that, that's where you see once Jet gets past him, like, Ken's still there, but he's not going to go that extra limit to basically try to be all in it and try to beat Jet. For instance, when he lands off the finish line, like, we all saw it on TV, that inside line in the sand, like, he was losing grip, like, race was lost right there. And he saw it time after time, lap after lap, moto after moto, but he wouldn't go in the inside. Well, probably because, one, he didn't feel comfortable. The bike's probably not set up for him. But again, that whole mindset of knowing, I need to go inside or I'm going to lose this race, because by not going inside is where I lost this race. He chose to continue going on the outside. And that's where I go back to a mindset of being like, you're happy here, and you obviously you're here to try to win, but you know, by going inside and winning this race compared to going inside and winning this race or DNFing, it's going to change your whole season as far as where you are at and where you're trying to get. To me, going inside was, I'm here to let this guy know that I'm here all the way. I'm fighting for this championship. Like, I cannot let you beat you. By going outside is like, I'm here, I'm fighting for race wins, and yeah, I want to beat you and I'm trying, but at the end of the day, like, look, I'm not really fighting you for the championship, because I'm not here to die of all. Like, if you beat me tonight, like, it's not going to change the way I view this series and where my mindset is compared to, like, I don't think Ken's racing Jet like that. I hope he understands, and I hope everybody understands, like, I'm not even saying Ken's not trying or Ken doesn't want to beat Jet. I'm just saying the mindset of, I got to win tonight, because if I don't win tonight, my title hopes is over. This guy beats me like this, three races in a row, and where I'm at and how far I'm back in the points, it's a wrap. So it's all or nothing compared to, yeah, I want to beat this guy and I'll try to beat him next weekend because look, the German chocolate's always slippery. It always tastes good. But my goal is not to actually, like my mindset is not this championship because I'm not racing like that. I'm not racing to win this particular race. And I think it was frustrating as, you know, Ken, because I'm sure he wanted to go inside, but he knew the bike's not set up and he wasn't really willing to take that chance. Even in that third race, when those guys went on that on off on the tabletop, which by the way, was pretty sick. Kenny like stuck it in and it almost seems like it's a little contradicting because when he was doing that, like that's that fight that I feel like you would, that he would race Jet the whole time like that. You know, Kenny was not budging because he knew he wanted to be up front. He knew Chase was back there and he felt comfortable in that section that, I mean, it was pretty close. I think maybe the TV made it look closer than actually what it felt, but I was even surprised, like, damn, like they both going in this gnarly section when either one of them, no fault of their own, but completely their fault, can catch a rut and it would be over. You know, Jet knows he wants to get past Kenny right there because he knew Chase, how Chase rode that second race. Chase was coming. And the one thing you can do with Chase Sexton is the confidence built off the emotions. Well, emotions said that he was riding good that second one and he was right there in that third. So I think the urgency for Jet Lawrence was to stay in. But when you watch Ken Roczen, you were like, dude, I'm surprised you're staying in there because that finish line, even if you kept that front, if you stayed here or you stayed in front of him, you're going to lose all that time. So I think the reason why Kenny was, as the night kept going, the reason why Kenny kept getting better and better and had more fight was because he was realizing that he's actually right here with Jet. And just like the first time he raced Jet, how he rode then to the second time to here, I think Ken saw and was believing like, dang, I am as good. Like I probably can actually compete against this dude. If I stay in it, like I actually might be able to win. But then you go and then that finish line is the part where I'm like, all right, he's still like, he's all in, but then he's still like, look, I'm gonna have to go on the outside. Again, Kenny's reason for going on the outside, seeing his bike, I understand. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm not even saying any of this is a negative, but it, my point is, I feel like sometimes they're beat before the gate drops. You know, their mindset on racing is when they're that close, it's like a feeling of comfort, a feeling of winning compared to, look, if I don't win, I lost. There's no other point. If I don't win, I've lost. I feel like you hear that with Jet Lawrence. Like if he doesn't win, he's lost. Even sometimes with Cooper Webb, like when that dude wins, he still feels like he lost. But the mindset and the point I'm getting at is, remember a couple weeks ago when Eli came up, he went down, he was fast in heat race. He won that heat race with Aaron Plessinger. I think it was Dallas for one of his races. And then he went down in the main event and it was like, he just started coming up and people was like, beast mode's back, beast mode. And I was saying that I think the old Eli would have came up and won that race because the old Eli knew that what he could have solidified, what he was able to do by winning that race, said to him and everybody else, this championship is far from over, because he knew mindset-wise and mentally, coming to get second, great ride, fans back, pump, beast mode possibly, but and the team would be happy, but winning would be a whole different story. Winning would be saying something that, oh, like second ain't good enough. Like I'm here to win, period. I'm not happy with second. And I felt like that race, he just got that second place was almost a win. Where I feel like with Ken Roczen, he's racing and the way he raced that night, like it was somewhat of a win. Like he was somewhat happy. I do also feel like Ken Roczen, like he's starting to believe that he's really the only dude that's actually running with Jet and actually making Jet have to step his game up to a point, which is awesome. The German chocolate is really that good. And that's why I feel like when you listen to him at the podium, each podium interview, the first one, like, yeah, I'm happy. The second one, like, yeah, I'm happy. The third one, like, he was like, I almost felt like I saw more. Like, he was like, I want more. Like, I want more. And that's a good thing. But Ken mindset, where he's at right now, is I'm here to win races. I want to win races, but the championship, I don't know if until I start winning and completely, I guess, get back to the old Ken Roczen before injury and all this other stuff, that only thing I'm here for is to win. I think that's just a different mindset. And I almost feel like when he's racing, he's in that. And also the way he races Chase Sexton is that where I said he probably should be racing Jet, because where Chase is in the same spot as well. Chase Sexton has been struggling all year with speed. You know, he's been kind of struggling with the bike and he's been kind of up and down. But we also seen, just like Ken Roczen when he was in Arizona, when you put these dudes out front, those dudes are good. Like, they can beat anybody at any point, no problem. But things have to be rolling their way for that to happen. Well, Chase Sexton's been struggling with speed all year long and it's kind of the bike setup, but he's been getting better and better each weekend. I felt like that way he rode in that heat race in Birmingham, like, dude was crushing it. And he was out front, he was dictating and everything was going good. But then when he got caught behind Justin Cooper, like, he got frustrated, but he was trending the right way.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Well, this weekend, you saw Chase in that second race. He found the flow. He was coming up, and it was nice to watch Chase. Like, it looked like he was just doing it just like how he was in that heat race in Birmingham. He got around those guys, and then he had a little bit of openness on the track so he can go wherever he wanted. And Chase looked like he was just more a completed version of what he's been doing all year long. Didn't like he wasn't like he picked up the pace 2 seconds. He just looked comfortable. So he rode well, but then he couldn't like close that gap. Well, the third race, Chase got a start and he was right there. And he was losing time in that rhythm section. You know, it was difficult, but I think a part of that is where I say he still has a little bit of weakness in the bike of it. You can override it. That rhythm section was super tough, and maybe being a little bit softer, how his bike set up, if he didn't get it perfect, he was going to struggle. And compared to where Jet's bike is a little bit stiffer, I think it was easier for him to be more consistent and do it each lap. But nonetheless, Chase was losing a little bit of time there, but dude, he was railing the corners and he was really fast after that sand section. He was jumping a different rhythm. If you notice, Chase was tripling into that corner after that sand section where Jet was like doubling and then singling in. Well, tripling in that corner just made the momentum and he just kept more momentum going. And that's where Chase was making a lot of time up. But it was like he can get there, but then he couldn't get past him. And every time he was trying to do that, he would make a mistake after the whoops and, you know, the place that he was charging. And it goes back to the whole point of where I feel like even if when you're behind Jet, you can't just go the same speed as him, which Chase was going the same speed, or Jet making mistakes, he would close in. You got to actually go faster. And when he's trying to go to that next little bit of level to be able to pass Jet and get to the lead, like, he kind of struggles, he makes more mistakes. Well, that kind of played out. But you saw Chase like building confidence, and as that race kept going, he was building more confidence. I think Chase kind of got in that same part where I said Ken was essentially, like, where it was a win for him. Like it was a win. Like that was the closest he's been to Jet. It was probably the best he's rode all year. And it actually was the time that it looked like in the main event, at least, that Chase had the speed to run with Jet, and he was actually there to do it. He can just say he didn't get a bad start, made a mistake, but that was the first time really all year that he was there. Yeah, I know he led Daytona, and he might have led some other races, but this was different. And actually, you can tell Chase was actually believing that, look, I'm starting to finally get back. Whether that second race, this last half of that moto, gave him the confidence that he feels like he has the speed to be able to catch him or whatnot, it was giving him confidence to be able to do that. But you also can tell that Chase is, he's trying to gain the confidence, and he doesn't feel like, one, he's like there, and two, it was like a win for him. Like, why throw it away? Like, in his mindset, like, I'm here, I'm doing the best I have all year, I'm actually racing this dude, so I'm basically, his third place is somewhat like winning. Reason I say that is listen to his podium interview.
Result for me, my riding's getting better and better every weekend. Didn't have the hottest qualifying, but I showed up. I mean, didn't obviously get the win, but I feel like I rode pretty well tonight with my starts. Got a better start the third main, made it work somewhat.
Chase Sexton last year, I'd be like, dude, you just got third. You got beat. You got third. You were out there. You just got third. I don't think Chase would have said that. I don't think you would have heard Chase say that. But where Chase is and where he's improving and where his mindset is and where he believes he wants to be at, but where he believes he's at right now, he wasn't upset. And it becomes to the point, going back to the Eli Tomac, he was in the same spot. Everything was a win. Only thing you could do right now is throw it away. Chase isn't racing Jet in the sense of like, if I don't beat him tonight, I probably won't beat him at all. Like I'm here for the title because I'm losing points. Where he's not in that mindset because of, one, he knew that, look, I'm trying to gain speed. I'm trying to gain confidence, and I'm trying to gain the confidence that then I can go out and beat this dude. I'm not here racing to knowing, just like Ken Roczen, that if I don't beat him tonight, that I'm really putting a dent in my championship and really hoping that this guy has to crash and all that. He's racing to build confidence, to go like just win the race next weekend. So the mindset is completely different from what Chase was last year, because if he wasn't winning, he was pretty disappointed. He was pretty disappointed until he started last year. He kept crashing and crashing. And then finally, when he had a race that he stayed up, then he was almost like in this mindset that finally, I'm happy I ain't crashed. I'm happy I ain't crashed. Well, that's what I'm seeing. And so when you watch that, and he's racing against Jet Lawrence, and he's racing against these guys, it's going to be hard to beat him. It's going to be hard to beat him because I don't believe they actually feel like at the moment they can actually beat this dude. They really don't. So when you really don't feel that way, and I'm not saying they ain't trying to beat him or they ain't putting in the work, but mentally, I think they're in different spots. And being your defending champion and being where Chase Sexton and these guys are, and when you watch them, you're like, dude, y'all are so close. You guys are so close. Like, they're right there. You're riding the best you have all year long. And they just can't, like, get it done. I do feel like moving forward, they're going to be in a spot where nights like tonight, they're getting the confidence for themselves and getting speed that they might end up beating Jet, and they probably will. But championship-wise, it's going to be over, because what's going to happen is, like, when they do that, Jet's going to be like, well, I'm managing the title anyway. And I do feel like Jet knows that. And the old saying is, like, you don't kick a man when you're down. Well, you kick him with both feet.
Stupid. I'm not going to let you get the chance.
You stomp on him. Kick him. And Jet's doing that. Not in a negative way. I mean, I ain't saying negative. Ain't nothing wrong with kicking somebody. But he just understands he races each guy differently. And he knows some guys are built off emotion. Chase Sexton is one of those emotional guys. Like, the confidence-wise, with that second race, emotionally, he felt good going to the third race. He was like, emotionally, I'm pretty good. And he was still there. But Jet was still able to hang into him. And I think the reason he was able to do that was because of where Chase is in the mindset, where Ken are. But the German chocolate, Chase Sexton, he's close to getting those things tipped out. They rode good to me. The other guy in this thing was Cooper Webb. Cooper Webb is Cooper Webb. Like, I think Cooper Webb was going to do what Cooper Webb was going to do. Now, for him, when he got caught up in that first race and he went down with the lapper, no fault of his own, he just got caught in a bad situation. I think that kind of dictated the rest of his night. One, gate position, and you needed a good start, I'm sure. Overall, I think Cooper Webb was going to do what he was going to do. Like, maybe he didn't feel the flow or whatnot, because I almost felt like that was Cooper Webb kind of track. It was just the Triple Crown, so things happened a lot quicker. He didn't have enough time to do what he does as far as coming back up, and the track was difficult to pass on, all yada, 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 all this stuff. But I don't know if I really lost any confidence or gained any confidence. I think Cooper Webb kind of just did what he did. The accident, the first race, kind of dictated his whole race. And to be honest with you, if he probably didn't do that, he probably would end up, you know, on the podium. And you'd have been like, oh, Cooper Webb got like third, maybe fourth. Jet would have won. He lost points, but no big deal. But that race kind of cost him. I still think Cooper Webb's in the same position he was last weekend, just a few more points back. I think he still feels like he can beat Jet. I think he feels like he can win this title. And I do feel like mentally, he's not this race ain't going to take him out of the championship mentally wise. As I said last weekend, the only thing that does that is if he don't believe in his motorcycle. Well, I think he believes in his motorcycle. He's not emotionally bound to speed. So him getting just waxed or getting beat by 40 seconds and getting four, whatever, you know, period. Like he did that, and then he almost beat the guy the next weekend. So I think the same thing is going to happen. Now, he is running out of time, and the only thing for Cooper is that the guy that is winning, not necessarily like he's getting more confidence over Cooper Webb in particular, but he's getting more confidence in just winning. And when you start winning, then you just continue winning just because it's like it's just happened. And it is a point where winning one race, all right, winning two races, all right, winning three, to where 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, however many more, those are pretty easy. It's just once getting on that string and then getting it again, because you win two in a row, you're like, all right, cool. You win three in a row, like, all right. But 4, 5, 6, like, that's just going to happen. That's Cooper Webb's problem. Continue letting Jet get on this roll. But it's not going to matter to him as far as the way he lines up on that gate and goes and races, dude, because he hasn't been knocked out yet. It's not going to be knocked out. So I think Cooper Webb's still in the same spot, just a few more points down. And yeah, we can be talking about championship could be over. Could be over as far as that point, but it ain't him the way he's going to go race and feel like he's going to win. He's still there. So I think Cooper's fine. Eli Tomac said, look, beast mode. Man, I love watching that dude ride. Love watching him ride. Just felt like there was something like kind of still missing, and you could see it. Daytona happened. It was important. Last 3-4 weekends has told you everything, right? Well, now I kept saying that there was something still kind of missing, and he was trying to work it out. All right, he comes back and he gets the Arlington second. Everybody thinks he's coming back, beast mode. Woo! Yeah, yeah, yeah. But there was still something kind of missing on there. And dude, he's doing better than I am. So I can only just talk as what I know, how good this dude is, and I know what I see. Like, he's not all the way back to what he's all the way back, because that dude's different. That dude's different. That dude ain't here yet. So we got Arlington, gets second place. Then we go to Daytona. Oh, he gets beat down in his own house, and you can tell he was frustrated, blah, blah, blah. All this stuff, the triple, the quad that he didn't know there was a quad, but the quad that he knew, he said, I lost because of quad, but he didn't know the quad was there because he didn't see the line, but he knew the line because he didn't choose the line. That race.
What? What the?
He ends up second. All right, coming. But we knew Birmingham was an important weekend. How will he rebound from that? He came out firing in the heat race, turned down for what? Trying to get out there, trying to do his thing. And in the main event, you can see it happening to him. Like, he came out, he was trying to go up, but then he realized, like, dude, if I'm here to win, which is the whole different mindset of some of these other guys. Like, Eli Tomac, I told you, like, either he's going to be up front or he's going to be in, like, 10th place. Like, there is no happy medium. Even though he finished like fourth or something like that, he was nowhere to be found. My boy Jason Wagon said a couple times, he's like, yeah, you ain't really hear nothing from tonight. And that's the mindset of a champion. Eli's here to win, or he ain't here at all. Like, that's it. And the hard part for him is there's, as I said before, it's hard going from here to like here. I mean, even that level, like right here, is better than 99.9% of the people in the world. Like, he'd be fine if he wasn't raising Jet Lawrence, but he's raising Jet Lawrence. And Eli, in the way he is, when you win all your life and all you do is win and all everything's about championships, it's just hard to be in that medium place and where he's at. And that's what we saw this weekend. So it was, I'm sure he was probably bummed. I'm sure it was probably a weird night for him. I bet if you ask Eli personally, like, dude, how was that race? I bet he'd tell you it was weird as hell. Like, I bet he'd tell you, he'd be like, dude, I don't even know. Like, probably in a fog, because I don't know if he's ever been in that position, really. Like, I remember when I was racing towards the end of my career, you know, in outdoors, it was almost like the race was a blur. Like, I knew I couldn't win, but like, I didn't want to be where I was in 10th place, but I wanted to be out there and I wanted to win, but I knew I couldn't do it. So I'm out there racing and I was just there. I don't even know what happened. I was battling with Benny Bloss in my mind, but dude was gone. He was gone. He wasn't even there. So for Eli Tomac, that was kind of a position like I believe he was in. And again, that person that you saw that night and the person that was winning the other night and won the Triple Crown, they the same people. Like, the same people, just mindsets are different. And it's going to be hard, like I said, to go from here to here. But Eli Tomac, I believe 52 might be coming and beast mode is still back. But whatever he wins another race or not, that dude's a beast. Always will. So you got all this stuff with all these guys, the mental mindsets and where they're at. And all that's caused because of this dude. This dude. This dude, we're watching. It's almost like you're watching the operation. You're watching the doctor pull the baby out. Nah, you didn't hear, you didn't see it on TV like, all right, they come back from commercial, the baby's there. No, we watching this thing grow, 3 months, 4 months. The reason what you're watching is you're watching this dude learn how to win these races. And he's telling you, and as you see it, he's racing everybody differently. He's figuring out how to win these races. And now he's starting to make those comments like, I'll go back and watch that rookie show. Like, to me, that's scary. Scary. Because you can see he believes now. Like, he believes. Problem is, for everybody else, is as they're growing confidence, might not even matter. Because once you start getting on a roll and once you believe, then the 22-0, it just happens. It just happens. He didn't show up at Paul that way. Like, you wouldn't think that the way he rode Chase Sexton and how Chase rode that second moto at Paula that he was going to win the rest of these races. But just shows you, once the dude feels like he knows how to do it, then he calculates and he races. He wins the races in certain spots of the race. Like, he'll win the race on the first lap by passing that dude because he knows, I got to pass this dude the first lap. This race is over because he can't pass me. And what we're watching is that. Like, even with Ken Roczen, like, he knows Ken's good in these beginning part of laps. Like, I believe the old Jet, he probably ain't like that. Just, I can't have nobody. I'm the fastest person in the world. Like, I ain't gonna let this dude run off for me and get some gap to hit for Ken to think that he might be able to beat me. I ain't gonna do that. But now he's like, I mean, hey, I can't let him go out too far. I can't let him get out too far because then that means I'm gonna have to raise my level. And then I'm like, as easy as I make it look, it ain't that easy. So I don't want to have to go to that level and try to run Ken down. But I know Ken's going to be fast in the beginning part of laps, and he's probably going to dip out. But I know from past history, he'll come back to me. So I'm going to stay here, make sure it's not get too far. And that's how he races Ken. And then Ken puts up his fight. But ultimately, at the end of the day, Jet knows racing Ken Roczen, like, he knows he can get it. That third race, same thing happened, but he didn't have that luxury. Why? Because he saw where Chase was. And even though Ken was there and he kept holding him off a little bit longer, I think if Chase would have got close and really ran it in on Jet, then Jet would have had to put it in on Ken. But when Chase came up, then he kind of knew, like, all right, now this is going to change. Now I got to put my pressure on Kenny and try to make passes. And he was trying to get around Kenny and he couldn't do it. And Chase would make a mistake. He'd drop back. Then he would kind of set up and tack Kenny at one point, just like he was the previous races. But my point is, Chase was dictating how aggressive or the urgency when Jet was trying to pass Kenny. I think he knew that he had Kenny at the end of this race. I'll eventually get him. But if Chase is on here and Chase throws a monkey wrench in this thing, then like that's a whole different deal, because I don't want Chase passing me, because that dude lives off confidence. He's emotional. You don't want that, because then I might not be able to pass him back, because that'd be the first time Chase has ever passed me. And I haven't lived that situation. I ain't trying to live it today. So it just seems like he's in his own world of kind of like knowing what he's doing. He also knows, like when he was jumping that double into the whoops, to me, if I'm in Jet spot, I believe it was actually easier. Sometimes with the jumping quad, to me, was easier than jumping triple. Now, Jet suspension, we can go through all that. But once you get in the rhythm, it was probably is easy to just jump into that. And for him, one, by jumping into it, it just, if he made it right, he had a suspension, having a stiff motorcycle, why it's harder to jump through the whoops, because the thing doesn't want to bottom out, doesn't want to get all the way down. Well, jumping into the whoops like he did made that suspension compress, which means then he got the pop. Then everything else, like he can actually get through it. On the side note, if you watch Jet Lawrence throughout the whole racetrack, when Jet got all his sections right, it was like his bike, he was able to be patient and get pops through it. Like in the rhythm section, if you jump towards the end of that tabletop, for the suspension would have kind of get low, bottom out. Then he got one bounce. Then he can jump on that next tabletop, one bounce, and then over. All the rhythm sections that way. And that's because he knew he needed that bike to be compressed to be able to get into these ruts. Well, the same thing that was happening in the whoops. Also, the only negative to it is when he overjumped it a little bit, that stiff bike, it sprung back. And that's why when you saw Jet, when he got a little bit of like little loose in the whoops, is because he overjumped it a little bit and that thing bottom and it sprung back up at him. And, you know, he had to get a little BMX kind of style, but luckily he's that talented. He can maneuver. But that was done because it was easier for Jet to actually do it that way than if he would have rolled and then tried jumping through the whoops, he would have struggled. And I think there was a couple laps he ends up doing that, and he looked like he was struggling to actually get into those whoops to jump it. But then if he didn't and he rolled and tried blitzing it, then he struggled that way because you couldn't stop for the end of that corner. So the third choice was to jump into the whoops, which for everyone else was probably like the gnarliest one, because no, everybody else stopped doing it. That was the least chance for anything to go wrong for Jet Lawrence was jumping into the whoops, because the other option, roll, then try to do it. Try to blitz it. Jump into it.
Nice.
That was easy.
Well, there you go. But all that was done, and he was gaining the time, and those guys couldn't do anything, and it was just easier for him to do it. But the whole point was, is that he was just dictating and doing what he needed to do, racing each guy individually. And as I was saying, the only problem for Chase and other guys is as they get confidence, and as Chase feel like, I'm finally riding my way, this dude just feels like he's just going to beat you anyway, because just winning makes him better, because he just gets that confidence and that mindset to where he's just going to feel like he's going to do it. So Jet Lawrence, we can sit here and talk about all this stuff, but it was really about everybody else, about how they're trying to build the confidence, but mentally he knows and they know, are they really racing me? It's like, are they really racing me? Because I feel like they're kind of happy just being close to me. And that's the problem outside of everyone else, except for my name. And one problem I don't continue to have is the same problem I didn't have last weekend and didn't have the weekend. I just think the last three races are very important, just like Anaheim 1 was. And then I had those two mud races, then I needed to bounce back. Well, this dude understands the situation, and the situation he understood was that I'm going to send him the old LL Cool J, mom said, knock you out. Well, I'm about to knock your ass out right now. And I've done it three times. Hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
Situation awareness. You should get a neck burn for that. Situation awareness. Sometimes it's important that all wins aren't equal. All wins aren't equal. The most important thing is not how to do it, or yeah, winning the races, is when to do it. Not all wins are equal. And I think that kid knows these last three races, yeah, it might have been like 9 points, you know. Yeah, luckily nobody's been finishing second, but these points gains that I've gotten, yeah, I got more than a 25-point lead, a 23. This is different. I got these guys racing now. They just happy to be up close to me, right? They just happy to be up close to this championship. I don't even know if they even thinking about that anymore because of what I just done in these last three races. So, yeah, they probably beat me. They probably beat me here and there, but I'm going to win the war because of what I've done. And that to me is, we ain't at that moment, but that's Stu-ish. That's a Stu-able right there. So Jet Lawrence, yeah, you won. But it's how and when you did it is what's impressive. Good job, kid. Down to 250 class, we have Tom Viao. Sneaky, sneaky. People have been saying he's been the only one because there wasn't no whoops.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, I don't know if there were any whoops at Daytona. There were some whoops, but I mean, it was a different type of whoops. And then last weekend, he only won because they ain't had no whoops. But they ain't had no triple either. So, yeah, he won. And you could kind of say, well, this weekend, you know, he didn't win overall, but there was whoops and he did crash in the whoops. But I don't think it was because of the whoops. I think it was because of the whoops and they were just so hard. Everybody was crashing. Tom Viao, he can roll through whoops because I seen him blast through somebody pass. So he came in and I told you with him, he ain't no emotional roller coaster. He ain't like some of these other kids out here to be emotionally like they got to limit themselves. Tom Viao was a world champion in that. You could see it. Like, the only thing he needed to figure out was how to figure out how to ride Supercross. And once he figured it out, he was going to be as good as he was going to be. And right now, he's pretty damn good. Well, this weekend, he came out flinging it in practice. Like, he was there. In that heat race, he came out. I mean, look at the dude. You want to know what, like, just winning does? Just look how the dude rides, period. Like, you can go back 3 weeks ago. Look how he rides and look how he rides there. Just the aggressiveness. Just through rhythm sections. Like, he shows up and he lets it hang out. And he's like, bang, I got a bigger one than yours. Like, whatever it is, that's how he's riding. And that's dangerous. That's dangerous, especially in the class where you got everybody else that's, you know, we feel like there's a favorite in Hayden. But, I mean, he hasn't won a championship. So, I mean, he doesn't really know yet. Maybe he will probably soon, but he doesn't know. And you got... You know, Max Anstey, he's just happy. He still got an unlimited pass in the Fred Disney World, man. He's still happy. He's still happy when he's mad. And you got Cameron McAdoo. He's just trying to keep his pants in. He's just trying to keep it on. And you got Chance Hymens. I don't know what he's doing, but he ain't doing it right. He needs to figure out how to do it, just like his old teammate. He needs to get off the gate. Whatever Chance needs to do, maybe take Jalik out again. Whatever. I don't know. Jalik, man, you be riding pretty good. You be riding pretty good, but still. So this class was wide open. What you saw, Tom Viao. And I still feel like him, the kid, doing good. I know he lost the points lead to Cameron McAdoo, and he hadn't been doing that all year, but I feel like with Tom, he's rolling in the right direction, and it's nice to be able to watch what confidence does. Yeah, he went down in the whoops, but he also passed somebody in the whoops. Those whoops were tricky. I think that's the problem. And then he rode that third race. He was dominant. His biggest competition outside of Cameron's been riding great all year. Nice to see him get a win. Now I think it's a three-horse fight. It's Hayden Deegan. asked Cole like right before the show started. I'm like, something looked different with Hayden. And I'm not talking about his rotting, but I'm talking about his rotting. His rotting style looked different. He looked loose. I don't know what it is, and maybe somebody can point it out to me, but something was different with him. When I visually watched him ride, he looked like he was moving around all over the motorcycle. Yeah, like Hayden's always going to be Hayden. And the people that say like Hayden's like changed, Hayden didn't change. Hayden's the same dude that threw homeboy's bike over last weekend. Difference is that he won this weekend. Like he won a race. He was up competing. But the biggest thing that Hayden, the biggest mistake that Hayden could make right now is to change who he is. Because who he is who he got. Like, that's what got him here. I just said he needed to be aware of when to be who he is as far as public and when to say something. But that comes with age. And I think he figured out they had team meetings and stuff and all that. But that kid this weekend, outside of the way I saw he looked on the motorcycle, that's the same kid that was last weekend. The difference is he almost got through the first corner in all three races. But I think Hayden, I'm not even going to say that the confidence of just winning a race or being fast, whatever it was in practice. No, he looked different. Like he looked different. That kid looked like the kid that we kind of expected. And so I don't know what it was, but something with his riding style looked pretty different. He looked like he was up tall, loose, you know, flowing with his arm. So I don't know. It was nice to see that. And I think he's trending in the right direction. So I think Hayden's going to be in for this championship. Cameron McAdoo and Tom Vial, those are your three favorites, clearly. But it was nice to see after letting it hang out all last couple weekends. And Cameron just seems like he was, like, the way he rides, he's so fast and he's so aggressive. And you would think he would just have more wins the way he's been riding. Because sometimes, like, I mean, he'll come up. Like, the beginning part, he would actually come up through the pack. He'd be like, dude, he's fast. He's fast. But then he just kind of stays there. Or when he's out front, he just doesn't stay out front. You make a mistake. But it was nice to see this weekend, like, he was able to string all three of them together. And he had his win. Hayden had the most dominant win. I mean, dude just dipped out. And I believe Hayden was the fastest out of all of them. But he didn't win because he was down hitting tough blocks in the first corner. I believe the reason he hit his tough block in the first corner, because he was worried about just getting through the first corner. He probably wasn't even thinking about the tough block. Tough block came out, smacked him. Probably a little payback. Tough block was like, don't hit me. Don't kick me over. But he just ran into it. And that was it. That's because he was trying to not fall. He ended up falling because he was trying not to fall. But nonetheless, Cameron McAdoo, you kept your pants on this time. You kept everything in check. And what you got in check was a number one pick. Nice trophy, nice place, and hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.
Stack, Cameron, dude, I know you was happy. By the way, you was riding really good. Nice to see you. And what happened, man? Handmaker, what happened? I was like, dude, like, watch out for that dude. Well, you got to watch out. Dude was hitting the ground this weekend, but it was a tough track. So, whatever. It happens. A lot of people. So that class still right there. Everybody is still right there. And congrats, Cameron. Tom Vial. They only nine of them. You straight. You got to worry about it. Hayden, keep your things up. Don't change who you are. Just change when to be who you are, when to do it. But you look good. Something different. Never had style. That was good. All right, people. I think I talked enough about all that. But before we go, you know what we got to do. It is Stew and Stew time. And I'm sure somebody's going to be on this list or nobody's on this list. I don't even know who's on this list, but we'll be right back. What's up, guys? Your boy JS7. Look, if you ain't got time to watch our whole video, which I don't know why you don't, make sure you go here and subscribe and check out our new channel where we're going to have some smaller clips, some clips that you haven't seen on our main show just for y'all. So make sure you subscribe, click, comment, do whatever you do. Watch our whole show, but come to this channel as well. Check out our stuff. See you there. All right, guys, you know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time. It is Question Cues with Stews. Yes, it is different. I'm sick and tired of having to think of all these thoughts. I want to hear from y'all. So we ask you to submit your questions and give me some answers because you know, y'all, I do the show for y'all. So y'all need to be a part of the show. So that's where we at. So y'all submitted them. We got a whole bunch of them. We can only pick a few of them. But now it is your time. Cues with Stews. Let's get into it.
So first we've got 702 April Please 2 asked, people went from hating Jet to now saying it's boring racing. Why is this? Saying it's no fun to watch the same person win. I don't feel this way. I think it's good competition. Why didn't people think this way when it was Carmichael, McGrath, Filippotto, or even you?
So I don't think it's about hate. I really think it's more when you're supposed to win, and I would say you're probably the favorite and people expect you to win. It just seems like anything that you do that's like a negative, or like when you got in with Anderson or things that you say, like people turn that into a bigger deal because you're supposed to win. So winning's not really, that's what we expect you to do. Is when you don't and it comes off as you're like pouting or something like that. I think that's where people like change. And so I don't necessarily think it was hate. I think it was more about, you know, what he was saying and, you know, circumstance, because I went through it. Ricky went through it. I mean, at one point we were all like villains, but it was more about, you know, I guess when you're in that and you're supposed to be dominant, how, you know, the things that you say and stuff, they kind of feel bad. And as far as what Jet is boring or not, yeah, I mean, when I went 24-0, people say it was boring. When Ricky went 24-0, they say it was boring. So I wouldn't say that that's any different than any champion. I just think it's how you look at it, you know, people. So I think Jet's fine. I don't think he's not going through anything that anybody that's ever won at this level hasn't been. So he'll be fine.
iMoto36 asks, after Jet's recent run, who do you think will be his biggest competition over the next 3 to 5 years, indoors and outdoors, such as Sexton, Prado, Deegan, etc.?
Yeah, so great question. I think when you start looking at a whole, it's just like this weekend, when you watch these guys, it's not like the gap, even though the gap mentally and where they all racing, they're still competing. Like they're still right there. So it's kind of hard to say, I don't feel like he's so fast that they can't beat him off his speed. Cause I watch it and I do feel like they're still, if you can put him in a spot, then maybe you might have a chance at him. Where there was some points like when McGrath was racing, he was just better. Like he ain't really nothing mentally, not mentally, whatever. It didn't matter. Like when you're 3-4 seconds slower than the other guy and you that gap, then I could see where your question would come from. But I think the biggest competition for Jet is going to be him. And it's going to be up to everybody else to make him get into that spot and actually kind of believe that they are. But it's not they're not like 2-4 seconds off. So I guess the competition, I still feel like it's right there. It's just more of a mental, and those guys believe in that. Then I think you got to race. But kudos to Jet. He's making them not believe they can achieve. So it's kind of hard to say who 3-4 years. I think they're still right now. I think the competition is still right now.
So Davey asks, is there a mental block for the rest of the field when Jet gets around them? Kenny just let him by so many times and stuttered when trying to catch back up. Almost looked defeated.
Hey, Davey. Yeah, I do feel like there is some mental side of this as far as those guys racing against Jet. And I just said it in the show, is it's not like I don't think they go to the gate saying that they're afraid or they don't want to race Jet. They don't feel like they can beat him. But I think where they're at, when you're fighting your inner demons, they're trying to finish as best as they can compared to where they've been at. So if I've had some crashes and, you know, like I keep going down in the first corner, well, getting through the first corner is a win to me, right? Like I just won. I'm not even thinking about the second one because I was so worried about getting through the first corner. And then I'll get there. Well, I think those guys are in that spot. Like they've been lacking on speed. They haven't been close to the guy. So last weekend, I don't think they're racing. You can't go from not even being close to the guy to just beating the guy. They were happy just being close to him. So there's a mental block as far as they're trying to get their confidence and gain stuff. Then they'll be able to compete against him. So it's not necessarily about what Jet has mind control is, even though he got mind control, it's where their mind is that has control of the situation. And I think if they continue doing races like last night or this weekend, then I think we'll have something to talk about.
Gregor273 asks, WTF is Tomac doing?
Hey, Greg, what's up, man? Been watching the show, Tomac doing what he's been doing all year long. He doing it. I think the difference is Tomac is Eli's his champion. And being a champion and all you do is compete to win. And when you're not there, not saying he can't win because he clearly can and he has speed. But if he believes he can, I also think circumstances dictate where he's at, right? Like if he's up front, then I don't think we WTF, what is he doing rather than he'll be competing. But when he's in the back and he knows, like even if he rides his best, he's still probably not going to win because he's too far. He's got to go over that. I think then you get a no spot. So yeah, I think Eli's been doing what he's doing all year long. So I'm just glad he's out there doing it.
What's up, peeps? It's your boy JS7. We just trying to finish up the Rewind show. Mother Nature decided to hit the power box and cut us off. I was like, yeah, too much talking, not enough time, but I wanted to get my stews out of the week. So number one stew, Jet Lawrence, of course, three in a row. You was stew. You know what you do. Triple crown, don't matter. Shortened race, don't matter. They come at you, don't matter. Why? Because that's what you do. You win. So you was stew. And then my boy Cameron McAdoo. Yeah, you a stew. Yeah, you won. You won. I think this is your third time winning. But you didn't let it hang out. You kept it all in. And what you kept in is your victory. So you a stew. And the easiest one of all. Stew. Pissed off. Pissed off because you can't get the show. Pissed off because you're trying to do it with the kids. And the kids are going crazy. And you have to stop the show. And then I should have been done. But I couldn't get done because the show was getting stopped. Because they kept coughing and doing all this stuff. But that's dad's life. But pissed off because Mother Nature decided to blow my power box out. Don't she understand? I'm trying to get my people done. I'm trying to get the stews out. So I'm stewed because I ain't have no power. But we finished the show. So there ain't no more. So hope you guys enjoy the Rewind show. Know it's a different look, but it's for y'all. So until next time, I'm not going to drop my phone because I don't want to break it, and I don't have the Apple coverage. So until next time, bye.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.